Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. John's Gospel tells why it was written, that its readers might believe that Jesus is the Son of God and have life through his name. Jesus is the anointed one foretold by the prophets. Today, more of what Christians believe about the Savior. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on what we believe. Now, more about the Son we follow and the abuse he took while here on earth.
He wouldn't have had to put up with the people in Nazareth wanting to push him over the brow of a hill. He didn't have to put up with the treachery of Judas. He didn't have to put up with the curses and the insults and the abuse that he got from Herod and the soldiers. He didn't have to put up with that. Remember, when Jesus humbled himself, this was voluntary. It's not that he was eased out of the Godhead because there was some restructuring going on in heaven. This was a voluntary decision that he made to honor the Father and to redeem us. We can't get our minds around this, can we? I mean, we hang on to positions until our knuckles turn white. We hang on to our rights and say, whatever my rights are, nobody's going to move me from my pinnacle because I'm here and you just don't tamper with who I am. Here's Jesus being willing to do all that in a descent that boggles our imaginations. He whose going forth has been from of old and from everlasting, those feet that went from eternity to eternity, up and down the universes, those feet would now have to learn how to walk. The hands that created all things, those hands would now have to rest securely in the hands of a young woman, his mother, Mary. The eyes that were piercing, that saw everything that was going on in the universe, those eyes would now have to adjust to the dim light of a stable. And think for a moment of the ears that have heard everything. Those ears would now have to adjust to the Aramaic language. And he would increase in wisdom and stature with God and with men. Throughout history, there are many people who attained, or desired, I should say. There are many people who desired to be God. History is full of people who desired to be God. This is the only instance that I know of, back then or now, where you have a God who desires to become a man. That's why the Bible says he humbled himself. All right, we notice that he changed his roles. He also changed his appearance. He's now a man. In heaven, nobody asks who's on the throne. On earth, he has to show his ID. He has to be spat upon, misunderstood, marginalized, and confronted. That's Jesus in becoming a man. Also, you'll notice that he changed his mission. He changed his mission. His mission was running the world. When I gave a lecture on the Trinity last Sunday, I pointed out that my daughter asked the question, who was running the world when Jesus was a baby? It's an excellent question. Who was running the world when Jesus was a baby? Well, the answer is that the Father was running the world when Jesus was a baby. He gave up his rights to be a part of that running of the world, and he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death. And he now, instead of being victor, becomes victim, after a manner of speaking, and he substitutes the cross for a crown. I should say it the other way around, shouldn't I? He substitutes the crown for the cross. And there he is. He is obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why that little word even? Because the cross was really for the bad fellows. The cross was really the kind of death that nobody wanted to die. It was painful, it was humiliating, it was excruciating. And Jesus now is willing to go even to the cross. That's the depths of his humiliation and the depths of his obedience. It can't be said in any other way. Wow. And that death wasn't just a random death. It was a death that was brought about by God the Father. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Yes, evil people were involved, and they become responsible for what they have done. But in that death now, redemption is going to occur. I read a liberal book some time ago, religiously liberal, that says, oh, Jesus didn't die a substitute death. His death just shows how much he loves us. Pardon me. I heard a pastor give this illustration. Let's suppose I were to take my family to the Grand Canyon and find a huge cliff and then say to them, I'm going to hop over and I'm going to die just to prove how much I love you. They'd arrest me and they'd take me to a psychiatrist and ask whether or not I was off my medication. I smile, by the way. I'm not on any medication. If you are, that's okay, but I'm not. This is the real deal. What a silly idea. He died just to show that he loves us. Of course he loves us. Now, if I died for my family in the place of my family, now we're finally talking sense. That's what Jesus did on the cross. It was a substitutionary death. It was a death that we cannot comprehend, because in those 3 hours, 3 hours he suffers under the hand of men, for the next 3 hours he suffers under the hand of God, and in those 3 hours were compressed an eternity of hells. And the separation, not ontologically, I hope you can understand that word, not ontologically from the Father, but that break in fellowship was that Jesus was now being made sin for us. Personally innocent, but legally guilty of the sins that you committed this past week. Legally guilty of the most horrendous things that you can possibly imagine. Things that perhaps you haven't done, but others have done. Though God only knows who's with us here today. Jesus becomes legally guilty for all those things, even the death of the cross. And the reason that you and I can be in heaven today is because he died for us, he suffered for us, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And after you've received Jesus as Savior, if you die, you are welcomed into heaven as if you are Jesus, because you're going on the basis of his merit, his work, and he stands in your stead all the way into eternity. That is the good news of the gospel. And that's why Jesus died. Now, is this the end of the story? You see, the big story of the resurrection and the ascension is that it shows you how much God approved of what Jesus did. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, whether on earth or in heaven, and that every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Is there any doubt about Jesus Christ's exaltation? Is there any doubt about the fact that Jesus goes back into heaven and resumes his responsibilities that he had before Bethlehem? What did he say in John 17? Father, glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Jesus gets it all back. But along with that, he gets a company of redeemed people for whom he died. Those who trust him. And there's Jesus now sitting in heaven. You say, well, does the incarnation end? No. Once he assumed humanity at Bethlehem, that will continue forever. It says in the book of Hebrews, this man, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. You and I will see the body of Jesus, the nail prints, the glorified body to be sure, But Jesus will have that forever. But all of his responsibilities are back. How much does God think of Jesus? I just noticed it this week again, that when we give praise to Jesus, according to verse 11, God is glorified. Every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God says, you want to glorify me? You give lots of praise to Jesus, and I'm glorified in the praise. And there's not a single tongue that has ever been created from the time of Adam to today and beyond that in the end will not acknowledge Jesus is Lord, because God will get glory from his Son and the praise that is given to his Son. Krishna will say, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Buddha will say, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Muhammad will say, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Baha'u'llah will say, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You can do it in this life, like many of us do. We gladly confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We've pledged our eternity on Jesus. We've bet eternity on him, and it's a good bet. But if you don't do it in this life, you will do it in the next. You say, will it be compulsory? That's a difficult term. By compulsory, we do not mean that there will be a gun to your head. But you will do it. You'll do it overcoming all the resistance that you had to Jesus in this life. Even if you are lost forever, you will say, Jesus is Lord. And you'll confess that to the glory of God the Father. Either A, we receive him now as Savior and gladly confess it, or B, you confess it later, though separated from him for all of eternity. God says, not a single tongue that I've ever created won't give my Son praise.
Yes, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. Remember that Jesus wins. And if you know him as your personal Savior, you win too. And so our faith and trust is in a qualified Savior. No other religion has a leader who has the qualifications of Jesus. And you know, the foundation of our faith is actually God's Word. I'm sure you realize that. So I wrote a book entitled Seven Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible. Scientific reasons, historical reasons, prophetic reasons, even discussing in this book the canon and its formation, how it came about. In a moment, you'll be given information as to how this book can be yours. Thanks again for joining us. See you right here next time on Running to Win.
That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer with more of The Son We Follow, the third message in a 10-part series on what we believe and the difference it should make. Next time on Running to Win, why one day every tongue will shout, He is Lord. Erwin Lutzer's book, Seven Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible, can be yours as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.